I learned a long time ago that football smart is a different kind of smart. I've been around a lot of football players. Never make a bad decision on the field. Never make a good decision off it.
Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Dan Lebatard. That's Bomani Jones and Dominique Foxworth. Let's get started.
Are the Lakers in trouble, like Jimmy Butler said?
All right, so Jimmy Butler said he was responding to LeBron James, who told him that the Heat were already in trouble, and that's why he started shouting in video. We'll show you in a second. But this guy put on a performance last night in the paint that I did not think was possible. I mean, Anthony Davis getting into foul trouble helped. The Lakers being terrible with 10 first quarter turnovers helped. The Lakers really did squander a opportunity here because, guys, the teammates that were out there, you had Solomon Hill out there. Kelly Olynyk was somebody you had to rely on. That's a 20-year-old snarling with those baby shark teeth. A 20-year-old. Duncan Robinson looks like he's scared out there. You've got Kendrick Nunn getting outplayed by Caruso. He didn't have a lot of help. He did something that only Shaq did. Doing it at the rim, no three-pointers. That's crazy that he did that to save their season like that.
Yo, want to is a significant variable. It matters a lot, right? Like, you got talent's going to have to get you to a certain place. Want to can only get you so far. But that was a display of want to from a dude, by the way, who has not been able to put the ball in the basket for the most part in this postseason. He's been like, I'll do whatever it is we need you to do, Jimmy. And Jimmy said, okay, apparently you guys need me to get a triple-double, and you need me to get it that way. Because Dan is right. Like, even I, as you know how I feel about that cowardly zone, I had to look up one time and realize that if you got Hero and Olynyk and Nunn and one of the and Duncan Robinson out there at the same time, I guess you do have to play zone, because who in the world are they going to guard? I see why you're scared to play man-to-man defense with that set of dudes. And Jimmy Butler carried them to that win. I don't know how many more wins he's going to be capable of carrying them to, especially without Bam and without Dragic, but that was a performance literally for the ages.
Yeah, 1-2, I think, is also a factor of those circumstances. Like, you can't manufacture that type of intensity when you are down 2-0. And I think we saw it pretty clearly last night. I hate it as analysis, but it did feel like that team wanted it more. And it also felt like the other team's best player got in foul trouble in the first freaking quarter. So, like, that's hard to come back from. That's also hard to replicate if you're the Heat and you're expecting this to keep going forward. Also, I would expect that the Lakers may shoot better and LeBron will play better. But what I don't expect is that they allow Jimmy Butler to get in the paint like that. Jimmy Butler was playing like football players play at the rec. He got KCP on him, and he was going down to the rim every time and just laying it up because it's bigger, stronger, and faster than the guy that's guarding him. And I think that is pretty simple. I'm no basketball coach. Put a bigger guy on Jimmy Butler. Play through the switch, go around it on the screen so that you force him to either shoot or get stuck with LeBron on you. Like, it feels like an easy thing to solve, and they don't have nearly as many answers, I would suspect, on the Heat as the Lakers have when they have LeBron healthy and out of foul trouble and AD healthy and out of foul trouble. So, no, I don't think this is going to be replicable for the Heat, but it'll be fun to watch them fight. All those guys who seem to hate the barbershop. Like, is there a team in the bubble who hates the barbershop more than them? Like, Solomon Hill came out there standing next to Jimmy Butler with Kelly Olynyk next to him, and I just got a little upset. And when a group of guys who look like that say, you're in trouble, yes, I believe I'm in trouble. Not necessarily winning or losing this series, but physically. Those guys who don't care about how they look, yes, I'm in trouble.
Let me ask you a question about Solomon Hill. Does anybody have a higher, more skewed ratio of money they've made to things I know about their basketball game than Solomon Hill? Because I realized when he came out there with whatever he's got going on in this Afro situation and the whole nine, I know nothing about you. I had imagined him completely differently, but he was a right place, right time all-star in 2016 and got all that money. I had to go look it up. This dude ain't shot 40% from the field since he got this bread. I am stunned that there is not an APB out on him for embezzlement. You, sir, are the American dream.
I am told that someone who has been hiding under his desk for the first two games of this series now has an opinion all of a sudden that he demands be heard. Let's hear from Poppy.
No Bam, no Dragic, no problem. LeBron played like J.J. Barea was guarding him. You want to see my LeBron impersonation? Wah! Wah! Do you want to see my Anthony Davis impersonation? Miami is the city of champions. Even the Marlins won. Sarah Spain loser, Michael Holmdown, loser with another arm. Back to basketball. KCP, more like KCPU. Danny Green is shooting like Draymond Green. Playoff Rondo, more like playoff P. LeBron is more washed up than Dominic. Dan says Jimmy Butler can give you 40 in a playoff game. What the f***, Dan? Jimmy Butler, a hero. Tyler Hero.
Oh, that's my father snarling.
Clinic. Duncan Robinson can't make a shot, but I still love that little guy. Even Magic Johnson is rooting for the Heat. This series is over. Heat in six. What? Actually, Heat in five. Papi has
Wow. Wow. Okay. Math is a little problematic.
How tired is Duncan Robinson of people talking about how he's a little guy? The dude's 6'7". Y'all just make that man little. He's 6'7".
What is it that makes people make him little? What is it? I mean,
you
nothing
know.
About him looks little to me.
Are the Browns better than we thought? Or are the Cowboys worse than we thought?
All right, the Browns can really run the football. If they can really run the football, they're going to be able to hide their quarterback. Dallas doesn't need to hide their quarterback. Dallas comes back and has unbelievable numbers offensively, but they've allowed almost 150 points in four games, and their only victory was that miracle against Atlanta. Dak Prescott, I think, is going to be fine, especially in that division. But the Browns are finally doing something to live up to last year's hype. Odell Beckham finally looked like Odell Beckham. It's been a while since we've seen that, but I still think the best arm they have on that team might belong to Jarvis Landry. That left-handed pass to Odell Beckham, they've got some athletes on that team, so they're finally living up to some of that youthful promise.
Yeah, maybe they'll get better and better as the season gets on, but I don't think that we are underestimating the Browns right now. I do think the Cowboys are significantly worse than I thought they were, and their offense is prolific as far as production is concerned, but they are turning the ball over in an ugly way in early in games, and it's putting them far behind. And then Dak and that offense can put up big numbers and convince you that they are not the problem on that team. The defense is a problem, but just because the defense is a huge problem doesn't mean the offense isn't part of the issue. They need to protect the ball and score a lot more earlier to allow the Cowboys pass rush, which is the only thing that it seems like they have, is some good D linemen to allow them to eat. Because if they're playing from behind, they're in trouble because they can't tackle anybody. They can't stop anybody. You saw what happened against the Browns yesterday in the running game. It's not just the Browns. It's everybody. Everyone's going to run the ball on them. And everyone's going to pass the ball on them. So Dak can't turn it over. He can't fumble. Zeke can't fumble. They're going to have to score on every possession, or at least approach the game with that as their mindset on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, like a few things are happening at once with the Browns, though, right? One, they've got the deepest running back depth chart. Like, we'll see what happens with Nick Chubb on that injury, but they going deep like a college team goes deep at running back. Two, they hired Bill Callahan to coach the offensive line. You don't want him to coach your whole damn team, but he'll do a great job coaching your offensive line. But, dude, nobody was coming close to those running backs. I can't tell how much of that was blocking and how much of that was just how terrible the Cowboys were. Going to the left, nobody's getting up to a dude until he's 5 yards past the line of scrimmage. Going to the right, it's going the exact same way. Now, if you want to talk about the Browns as a team, they are 3-1. They have beaten three sets of bums. They beat the Cowboys, they beat the Bengals, and they beat the team. Those are the three teams that they've happened to beat. When they played the Ravens, they lost 38-6. So I don't know how much of the promise is being lived up to because they are beating bums. I don't have an answer for that. And the Cowboys, at least as things stand right now, look like Dak Prescott and a bunch of bums. I can't say their receivers are bums. They've actually looked to be pretty good. Everybody else, though, is out here looking like bums. Zeke can't hold the ball. The defense can't stop anybody in any sort of way. Who was that dude, Dominique? Was it Worley that they were asking to check Odell Beckham? And that was the most hopeless mission that I could recall seeing at any point. The Browns running back that I ain't never heard of was gashing them in the course of that game. The Cowboys look terrible. And guess what? They look like the best team in their division.
The New York Giants are 0-4, and they're right there. They're waiting to make a run at 0-4. They'd be, if there was a graphic right now, they'd still be in the mix.
Ready to pounce.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie Show.
And temper your expectations, because it is going to hurt so badly when he decides to lateral again and it costs you a game.
Highly Questionable is presented by Samuel Adams. From Boston with love. Savor the flavor responsibly. Part of happy hour.
National Voter Registration Day is September 22nd. For more information, visit IamAVoter.com.
Okay, guys. The Bills are a 4-0 juggernaut with a physically imposing force at quarterback. Now, will you apologize to Josh Allen?
All right, the schedule is about to get hard. I don't judge from the smile on Bomani's face that you're about to hear an apology. What can be said, though, and this is not up for dispute, is he has improved, and he's improved in a place where I wasn't expecting to see him improve. His accuracy is better than it has been, and they are dangerous from the way that they are using him because they keep it pretty safe, and then they throw it well downfield with all of his arm strength, and he's been accurate down the field, better down the field than anybody except Dak Prescott, but the problem with him remains a recklessness that creates 15 fumbles last season. He's improved the accuracy, but is the recklessness going to dissipate? Because there's been some bad judgment with that recklessness where he thinks his athleticism can overcompensate for anything, and it gets him into trouble, and it's going to get him into trouble against good teams.
I mean, it looks a lot like what we see from Carson Wentz, where he's trying to do too much. And right now it's ugly, but at certain points it's beautiful. So I think that I will not apologize, obviously, but I was absolutely wrong about Josh Allen as a prospect. I thought that he was not going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. He has far surpassed that. I will give him that. But please stop trying to put him in the conversation with the top of the league guys. I understand right now his numbers make him look like an MVP, but he is not at that level. I think you mentioned Dak Prescott earlier because they both are good at passing the ball downfield. I think they are similar. Dak Prescott suffers from being compared to Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. He suffers from that because everyone looks at him, and despite how good he is, they're like, but he's not quite that level. The same thing is going to happen to Josh Allen if y'all don't cool it. Just be happy with the Josh Allen that you get. Give credit to all those great receivers in the offense that Daboll is schemed up to allow Josh Allen to do what he does well. And temper your expectations, because it is going to hurt so badly when he decides to lateral again and it costs you a game.
Dominique, they can't get hurt if they choose to ignore all the things that they do not want to believe. Now, that is something that I absolutely refuse to do. He was good in this last game, right? Like, of the four games that I've seen him play this year, that was the one where I would say that he was the best, and that was the one where he had the fewest mistakes, but the mistakes that he makes are gigantic. Like, that 3rd-and-18 at the end of the game, they were up by 2 touchdowns, right? So it was one that wasn't going to ultimately matter, but that's one of the dumbest plays that you're going to make. Like Dan said, the thing about he thinks he can do all these things, he ain't thinking. He just out there doing. Like, what they have figured out is how to work around the fact that that dude ain't thinking and he's just out there doing because he can do. Like, if there's something out there to be done and there's a glimmer and a chance to do it, he's going to make a way to try to figure out how to make that happen. And yes, on the deep accuracy, he's gotten better, which was crucial because he had this giant arm and it didn't matter if he wasn't throwing the ball and anybody was actually catching it. He has improved more than I thought he could, because I think you look at where somebody starts, there's only but so far they can get beyond the starting position of where they are as a talent. He has gone beyond that. I am stunned that he has gotten as far as he has, but the problems that he has are still to say. I ain't apologizing, but I'm absolutely going to say he played well in that game.
Does Tom Brady look like Tom Brady again?
Okay, so if you were to take about the last 7 years and condense them into a single Sunday, you had an hour there Sunday where people were pointing at a pick six, another pick six, which is the way that old quarterbacks age. They think they could get it out there to the corner. Next thing they know, the cornerback is dancing 70 yards the other way in the other end zone. And then he goes from that pick six and people saying, hey, that looks washed to me, to putting together since then 15 of 17 completions, bunch of different receivers. Mike Evans goes crazy, and he has as good a half as can be had. It was a perfect quarterback rating. So for that one Sunday, what you get is maximum Tom Brady football. You get something you're not used to seeing. Those pick sixes will never seem normal to me. It's like when Russell Wilson throws a ball into the end zone that's picked off, or whether Aaron Rodgers, it looks like an alien is landing on the field to me whenever I see one of those decisions. But that's Tom Brady thinking he can get it there and then not. And that is how somebody ages, where he can be brilliant on occasion, he just can't be brilliant as often. So far, though, in 3 of the 4 games, Tom Brady has looked like a very good quarterback.
Now it's my opportunity to be that guy. Now, before this game, I forget who wrote this, but they did a little film study on the Bucs, and they found that one of the routes they took out was the deep out, because you just can't throw the deep out anymore. That was just a regular out that he threw the pick six on this time. Like, are they going to have to full-on give up on out routes because he's more likely to throw a touchdown to them than he is to throw a touchdown to you? I'm not sure. He played well in that game, but look at what was going on in that second half. There wasn't no needles to be threaded out there. It was some wide open dudes. And Tom Brady, if a dude's wide open, is going to wind up making the pass. But go look at some of them throws. That clip's ain't in slow motion. That ball was just taking a long time to get there. Like, they're having to work around some serious physical shortcomings in order to make it happen, and they might be able to do it, but I personally am not a big fan of quarterbacks who have weak arms, and right now Tom Brady looks like a quarterback who's got a weak arm.
Yeah, but they are loaded with weapons, so hopefully they get in a situation where these guys are open. I think the toughest thing to do as a quarterback is probably to make the right decision to throw it to the right place. Tom Brady seems to be able to do that most of the time, except for when he thinks that his arm is stronger than it is. They need to take out all outs. Only in breaking routes from here on, seams, slants, posts, all the odd numbers. We want those out of the playbook. We're only doing even numbers inside breaking routes because those work for Tom Brady. And that defense has been really great up until this point. They had a bad day yesterday. If that defense can play well as they have before and only ask Tom Brady to be great in small stretches, then I think they are in good shape. And make sure he's great inside the numbers, maybe inside the hashes. Keep it right on in there, his comfy zone, to guys like Scotty. Throw it to guys like Scotty, and Tom's going to be all right.
Do you question if A.J. Rose will bounce back from this?
All right, you might say in these troubled times, what we need is peace. We need more peace, except you can wait till you get to the end zone to give us the peace sign. A.J. Rose plays for Kentucky. Tyreek Hill has been telling you that when he does this, it's one thing, but kids, you should not try this at home because you do not have the speed of Tyreek Hill. So A.J. Rose in a game that Kentucky would lose by 1 point, he takes off and then peace sign right here. He is used to that ending in a score. Oh, he was pointing into the crowd. And then, of course, you know what's going to happen after this, right? Because he gets tackled, and then this happens 2 plays later. Again, I may have mentioned Kentucky lost by a single point, and now Mississippi has that football. We like the celebrations around here, but you got to score if you're going to do the swag thing, no?
I am not going to come down on the swag guy. Sometimes you fail, but I'm always entertained. I'm not a Kentucky fan or alumni. I don't care where they win or lose, but I do like when guys flex. One of the greatest plays in Saquon Barkley's so far, very young, but probably pretty disappointing NFL career, is when he put up the deuces like 40 yards out and was riding on everybody. Keep trying it. If you fall short, that's your embarrassment and my entertainment. Keep it up.
Look, man, he wasn't that far ahead of them. That's the part that gets me. Like, I don't know if this dude is one of these, like, supremely, exceptionally fast dudes, like, not just for your team, but for everybody. If you were the guy to be throwing the peace sign while you was running past people, you wouldn't have gone to Kentucky, right? Like, you that's not where you would have been playing. Like, Kentucky doesn't have nobody who needs to be doing that. You need to be out here with a chip on your shoulder saying to yourself, I can never work hard enough. I can never run fast enough. Because I don't feel like you went there because you dreamed of it. I don't. You went there because you are really, really fast, but not faster than everybody.
Starting at 7:05 tonight, Monday Night Football, Falcons versus Packers and Patriots versus Chiefs.
All right, we are in an upside down place. When you go from Cam Newton as the Patriots starting quarterback to them being a giant dog because Brian Hoyer is their starting quarterback, he's lost his last 10 games, and so it's official. You are better off having an outbreak and handling it poorly like the Titans so you don't get punished the way that the Patriots are getting punished, flying in day of on two different planes, one of them with people who have been near Cam Newton, the other one with people who haven't been near Cam Newton. But let's check in with the other game, Matt Ryan, and the last pass that he threw. He had a chance to not have it be an abomination at the end of the last game, and that's just a terrible throw right there. Matt Ryan is not the same guy since Kyle Shanahan left there. And are you interested in this one, Dominique? The Falcons are a 7-point dog against Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, I would be interested if we could mix and match the teams that are available. Like, I'd love to see Aaron Rodgers against Patrick Mahomes a lot more than I want to see anything with involving Brian Hoyer or the Falcons. So can we do that?
No,
can
we can't do that. No, it hasn't gotten that desperate yet. Maybe
this
it'll get that desperate.
We can do whatever we want. It doesn't have to be fair. We can do whatever we want. I want to switch up the teams and put the other one on the JV network.
We can't do whatever we want.
We can't.
Bomani, are you intrigued?
First of all, I want to point out that my whole fantasy team bench is on COVID restriction in one form or another. It's Cam Newton and a bunch of dudes who postponed games. When in the world did that become something that would ever be a possibility? But I want to take this moment to remind a bunch of you clowns, because some of you are clowns. You thought the Patriots were going to have a quarterback competition in training camp. Y'all really thought that Cam Newton was going to have to win the job over who you say? Brian Hoyer, who's about to be out there right now. Like, I want everybody to watch Brian Hoyer and keep in mind, y'all thought this was going to be a competition. And hey, who knows? Maybe he throws for like 500 yards and you're like, it shouldn't have been a competition. It should have been Brian Hoyer. Something tells me this is going to remind you how stupid y'all get when Cam Newton is involved.
Bo, it was going to be Stidham, the guy who couldn't Brian Hoyer. We're done here for the day. If you want more of these two gentlemen, you can find Dominique Foxworth at The Undefeated and Bomani Jones, The Right Time with Bomani Jones is the podcast. Go find it.
Dude, Dan looking kind of swole up there today with the short sleeves riding up and he got that pose going.
Yeah, swole.
Either that or he needs to start washing them joints in cold water.